Welcome to Scare My Best Friend to Death, where we answer the only true horror question. Will my best friend survive this movie? Join our hosts, Crystal, an avid horror enthusiast since she was a small child, and Katie, who has to sleep with a light on after watching anything remotely scary, as they discuss the best horror movies Crystal can make Katie watch.
Hi, I'm Crystal.
And I'm Katie.
And welcome back to Scare My Best Friend to Death, where this weekend we're going to continue to fill you in a holiday mood and get you ready for upcoming festivities of Thanksgiving with the 2015 movie The Witch. This is an A24 joint. It's directed by Robert Eggers. It's starring Anya Taylor-Joy, Ralph Ineson, and Kate Dickey. Currently, at the time of this recording, it's streaming on Max. Spoiler warning, this movie's 8 years old at this point. I mean, you've had a little bit of time to go watch this one. Trigger warnings. There's weapons, there's gore, there's graphic nudity, there's religion, if that upsets you. So without further ado, let's see if I can scare my best friend to death. Now, Katie loves historical pieces. So I kind of picked this one with the thought process of, well, she might like this one. She might like, you know, looking at the scenery, not necessarily the story, but she might like everything else. This is set in 1630s New England. The Pilgrims didn't land until 1620. So we're only like 10 years after the Pilgrims.
I absolutely love the fact that it is a period piece and almost wish it had been like an hour longer just because it's a period piece.
Ma'am, this is an hour and 32 minutes. I got a short attention span. I didn't told you like I told everybody else. We don't need these 3.5 hour long movies. I am not about that life. Please give me something just a little over an hour and let me be. This movie is like, has a gothic telling and it's slow paced. There's a slow burn, but the use of the scenery, the use of the camera work and how kind of sparse everything is. And the little bit of music that you get, there's not very much in this movie. The little bit that you get helps add to that intensity. So I could see, you know, watching this one in the dark might spook you a little bit.
Just a little bit.
But to me, if I were watching this one in the dark, I might fall asleep on it. It's a little slow, and I don't mind that, but I need something to keep me entertained, keep me awake. So, Katie, help me out here. Are these Puritans or are they Quakers?
At that point, they probably would have been considered a Puritan because they're focused on being pure.
So which one of these assholes came up with Quaker Oats?
Nobody in the movie.
So this movie starts out, I mean, they really don't waste any time for slow burn like this is. Opening scene is a 1630s, I assume, all in one. Cafeteria, gymnasium, chapel, court. And at this point, it's being used as court. And the father is getting sentenced to being banished from the town because he has been too prideful.
Yeah.
And they don't elaborate too much. Dave and I were talking right before this, that he kind of wants the backstory of what exactly was he doing too pridefully that you get banished for it. And there's like one snippet of a sentence that you have to listen to catch. He's too prideful in his Christianity. It's kind of like he's a better Christian than you. But they don't really elaborate or discuss. how he boasts himself. Like, is this man up in the Puritan town hall with the sign of the end is near and a bell? Like, you know.
That's why I wanted it longer. I wanted more of what's going on, what led up to this. Don't just throw me in a room with a trial. I am not a juror in this situation. I need facts that go on beforehand.
You know, I think with this, had we had any more explanation or shown any more of certain things, they wouldn't have had the impact that they have. Like, I think this is perfectly fine at an hour and 30-ish minutes. My other problem, and you're probably about to know where I'm going with this one, my other problem is, how bad do you think they smelled?
Oh my gosh, it would have been insane. The body odor. You know,
yeah, I don't think they had deodorant back then.
No, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say there was no Charmin.
No.
You know, there's no Bath and Body Works. No, I mean, you had straight up lye soap, which, you know, what we now know is, you know, poisonous.
It's very caustic.
Yes, but to them, it would have been completely normal. So, you know, let's say we time travel to them, we might just absolutely pass out from the smell, but to them it was normal. Kind of like where me and you grew up in the country, we're used to the smell of cows and horses and dogs and pigs and chickens and all of that.
Goats.
And my cousins from Atlanta come down and they're like, oh my God, what is that?
So it's funny, David's a city boy and I pick with him all the time, and he's originally from New Jersey. So when we're out, you know, meeting people and stuff, I'll say, you know, he's from New Jersey. That's what the smell is. And he laughs because he's like, yeah, I really am from the part of New Jersey that stinks. But when we go to my hometown and visit and everything, all he talks about is how clean the air smells. And I am so tempted at least one time to drive by chicken houses just to see if he still thinks that it smells so clean.
But it's only so funny if the wind is blowing towards your car.
Yes. So the family is banished.
Yes.
They got kicked the fuck out. And the dad was still steady arguing with the governor and the judge and everything that they were in the wrong. And his pride was definitely on display. So you see them, they had to spend the first night as they're, you know, going away in this rickety cart. I can't even really call that a wagon. That's a rickety cart. They spend the first night out and about. Of course, they have no shelter. But then it seems to shoot to like the next day in the timeline, and they're on their knees praying because they've come across this clearing with a forest behind it, but there's a creek running through it. So you have a water supply with a creek running through it. And then it's very subtle. You have to look, you have to pay attention. But as he's sitting back up from being on his hands and knees, you know, it almost kind of kissing the dirt that he's at, you can see that the wife is pregnant. You can see her baby bump. Now, me, that looks like probably a 7-ish, 8-ish month baby bump. That thing was loud, proud, large, and in charge. And then the next shot you see is kind of far away, but there's a house built, there's stables that are built, there's a fence. You've got another little area that has been outlined, but the roof hasn't been thatched. It's not finished. Ma'am, how did they get this built so quickly? Because we would assume maybe she's 8-ish months pregnant, and then by the time they do this shot, the baby is here.
Yeah.
So, and the baby looks like it's maybe a month and a half, 2 months old.
Yeah.
Still looks teeny-ish, teeny tiny-ish.
Which, you know, that part really caught, like, whoa, wait a minute. Something's not lining up here, because when you're banished from a community at that point, that usually means certain death, because you have no one and nothing you can rely on for help except for those that are banished with you. I mean, you get to take all that you can carry, and that's it.
And I would have left a couple of children to go on their own, but I got way too many.
You know, Thomason, she's old enough to be married. Yeah, I mean, you don't get to take your garden. You can take what you can put in your wagon. But
if it's not in season, then it's better left in the ground.
I mean, there's no livestock for meat or cheese either. I mean, there's no nothing except for what you can carry or put in that rickety little cart. So, I mean, they're already facing a hardship. How did he get that built? Within just a few months, he himself and him.
Probably Caleb, the older brother, helped. And you would assume maybe Thomason did.
Yeah. But the mom is not going to be worth. I mean, she, at that time, they probably did push themselves a little harder right after a baby was born, because you had to. Yeah. And that could also be why so many women died after giving birth. But unless you worked from sun up to sundown, because, you know, that's not really something you can do with a lantern.
You could milk a cow with a lantern.
Well, yeah, but, you know, you can't put a roof on a house without one safely, especially a thatched roof with the open lanterns that they would have had then. So that kind of caught me off guard. And like that kind of stuff, I would have liked to have seen more of. But I get why they did it the way they did.
Yeah, because that's not really, you know, plot point.
Right. So that's not
kind of like, we got to get to the story and you got to do this.
Right. We got to get to Black Phillip.
Yeah. The bigger ask for me, because when you see them going away on the rickety cart, they have a mule or a horse. Mm-hmm. Where the hell do they get the rest of these animals from?
Yes. I like how you had the two goats, and one is white and one is black. Mm-hmm. And the white goat was always calm. And then, well, I guess, you know, depending on how long we're looking at in between, maybe the goats created more goats, even though one of the goats wasn't really a goat.
Yeah, I'm just real confused, because they had goats, horses, and the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then, was there a cow? I swear there was a freaking cow.
Not at their homestead.
I'm just...
She was milking the goat. It was a really large goat.
Yeah. But you just know that whole place needs some Clorox. And how many layers of clothing are they going to wear? I can't. What did you want to do first? Slap the shit out of the mom, or beat the twins' asses? Which one first? Because I know you probably wanted to do both.
Oh, yeah. Them twins is getting their butts tied to a chair and like rope in their mouth or something. And that sounds awful, but oh my gosh, their behavior was so bad the whole time. I'm like, how are you so hard on your two oldest children and you let the two youngest just run amok?
amok. I was watching, and it's like the mom, she's such a hard ass on Thomason mainly. Mm-hmm. She kind of focuses all of her energy on Thomason, but with Caleb, she fusses with him, but not in the sense that she holds Thomason mm-hmm. to. And the twins, if they start causing trouble, which they're always causing trouble, spoiler, then she doesn't even directly get onto them. She yells at Thomason for not keeping them under control. It's like, ma'am, it's not her children. You are those cheerings, mom. Beat them. Because we know the Puritans believed in all that child abuse.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when she's saying, basically, they don't listen to me.
Right. And they don't really listen to anybody.
Yeah. Because, you know, Black Phillip's in their ear.
Right. So you've got Mercy, who's just so spiteful and so angry and just, you know, all over the place. And Jonah is just kind of bobbing along because he's with her, but he's not really.
He's along for the ride.
Right. And at one point they do get tied up, which is hilarious, but then they break free, and then they're back hitting Black Phillip with a switch and calling him names and singing the song and stuff and getting in his face. And
that made me feel like I was back in kindergarten at work for a minute. that was rough. Or back, you know, at Great Wolf Lodge like I was a few weekends ago.
Too many cheering. I'm sorry. I just can't do it. I just can't. Give me an adults only. So they go into these woods. The movie kicks off fairly quickly. I mean, between the point of them getting banished, going away on the rickety cart, finding the homestead, building the house, and then the first couple of scenes outside the house, that's like 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, the movie wastes no time.
No.
And so the mom gives birth, and we have Samuel, the baby, who at some point Thomason takes down by the creek, because that makes a lot of sense, and she's playing peekaboo with him. If you play peekaboo with a child, your hands are covered for like 2 seconds, if that long. And we see her. It's a close-up on her face playing peekaboo, and then it shoots to the baby kind of laughing, then back to her, then the baby. And then the last time she does it, and she opens her hands up, and she looks like really confused, and then it shoots down, and there's no longer a baby there.
Mm-hmm.
Baby deuced out. And then there's a wide pan shot, and you see like one little piece of a weed kind of blowing where you can tell somebody brushed through there. And Thomason does try to run into the woods, but she only makes it, you know, maybe 10 feet in before she goes back. And so then we see a red cloaked character running through the woods with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
We then find out, not because we wanted to, I mean, my eyeballs is burning. We did not want to, but we go into this hut, and there is an old, wrinkly female presenting person. Like, we got some deep, old, wrinkly, like just deep crevices. Then we have the naked baby laid out, and essentially, you know, she's doing kind of a spell over it while she's rubbing her hand across the abdomen and chest. And then we see a knife to the baby. And then the next scene it shows is her wrinkly behind grinding up stuff. You don't know who it is, essentially, at the beginning. But the movie's name is The Witch. So we kind of have to just assume, and you know what that makes of us.
Right.
Here's our witch.
One of those things, it really, you know, they play up on the religious aspect of this. You know, after I finished the movie and I was thinking back, I'm like, okay, she's playing peekaboo on the third time. And when you have things that are on the religious aspect of it, 3 is a powerful number. So I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Was that intentionally done on the third time? Or was it just like, okay, we can't do this forever. Let's keep going.
A24 Films and the directors that they get and the screenwriters. Everything's generally done for a reason and for a purpose. There are a lot of other A24 films that I think you would really enjoy that are not horror, but they're like this and they're historical pieces. What did you think about Caleb going into the woods by himself? Now, Thomason was with him, but she got knocked off the horse. And the next thing she knows, when she wakes up, he's gone too. So now... the mom's already pissed off because the baby went missing under Thomason's watch. And she's not sleeping through the night. The dad's basically calling the mom in grief and kind of crazy, which she is. And now Thomason and Caleb sneak off because Thomason didn't want him going by himself because Thomason knows there's something up in the woods. Nobody's listening to her. Something is up in the woods. And they go off. And then, damn it, Thomason, now Caleb's missing.
Yep. And as the oldest and having two younger brothers, I would not have survived my middle brother going missing too.
No, you would not. I can vouch for that one. I have one younger sister who walked away from us. This is a great family story. She walked away from us at Dollywood when she was like four, climbed out of the stroller that she was in and walked out. Now, I'm only 6 years older, so I was only 10. Guess whose fault it was that she got away? Not, oh, oh Lord, our child is a demon and has jumped out of this stroller that we had her completely strapped down to. But, oh, no, you're the older one. You should have been watching. Turns out she was just maybe 20 feet away, and she was at one of those, like, carnival sideshow games where you, like, throw the ball or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But it's still our fault.
It is still our fault. It is. Absolutely is. I rag her on that to this day. I'm like, ma'am. She's like, well, you should have been watching me. Ma'am, you was four and I was 10. What business do I have watching you?
You know, I just feel so bad for her because it's like, I 100% can sympathize with you. You know, at the very beginning, when they finish their prayer and it zooms in on the woods and you hear this high-pitched, like, scream, singing sound that you start off, you think maybe it's just the wind, but then after that, you know, when it keeps going in on the woods, you're like, nah, something else is going on here. I want to know how the family didn't hear that.
You know, I'm thinking that it was probably high enough pitch that the kids heard it, because the older that we get, the less we're able to hear higher pitches. So I'm thinking that since these are Puritan times, and these parents are probably considered elderly at this point, they couldn't hear it.
Yeah. I mean, well, that in and of itself made you, like, you don't go in the woods. Shit's going on. But, you know, it's like the music just set the tone for the woods. But to go in and, you know, with your younger brother, you would think that they would have stayed closer together.
Well, I guess, and probably given, like, the time period, they realize they have to be very independent and not necessarily grown, but they've got to take care of themselves. So, you know, she's on the horse and he's guiding the horse, and they do get a couple of rabbits or a couple of squirrels or something to take back to eat. And it's kind of funny because at every turn, the dad he's just a bumbling idiot. He cannot do anything except chop wood.
Yeah. And then he gets the kids to lie for him.
Right.
Which is simple. Yes. I'm like, why can't you just tell your wife the truth? You were taking your son hunting.
Yeah. Which is also kind of really weird because, I mean, I'm sorry. That woman, the mom, her name was Catherine. First of all, Katie.
Yeah. We won't go. Yeah.
Her name was Catherine, but she is a miserable cunt. I'm sorry. Like, I would never want to be around this woman at all, period. Even if I lived back then, which,
But I mean, you know, she does say that, you know, she does apologize to him. You know, I don't remember exactly how she says it, but it's, I don't mean to be so cross with you all the time. I mean to be a better wife. I mean to do, but it's like, as soon as she loses Samuel, she just cannot process or function, or it makes it look like she can't get out of bed for months on end.
Right. I mean, she kind of looks like she has, you know, postpartum depression a little bit. And then also on top of crazy. And I hate to say it in that sense, seems a little... Yeah, she seems a little like a higher than thou, holier than thou religious zealot. She makes Thomason take the father's clothes off after they come back from hunting, but they tell her they were trying to find an apple tree. And then she gets mad at Thomas for taking the clothes off because she says that she's turned Caleb, meaning Caleb's been lusting after her, and now you're going to turn my husband. You're going to take my husband. Hey, lady, that's gross.
Like, right.
You're just nasty. You're nasty. That's gross. Cannot do it. But this woman's just got it in her head. And then this silver cup that she just harps on and stays on, like she automatically thinks because Thomason used to keep looking at it and would like run her fingers over the engraving and stuff. She automatically thinks Thomason has taken it. Not that the dad could have possibly taken it and sold it for anything they might have needed or traded it for any of these animals, you know, something they might have needed. Thomason took it. Well, bitch, if Thomason took it, you would have found it in the house by now. Parents are real good at finding stuff kids hide.
Because they never hide it well enough.
Right. She would have found that, she would have found that silver cup. And what gets me is that that dinner scene where he starts to take up for Thomason and he's telling the wife she didn't take it. So then that further just infuriates Catherine, the mom. And she just automatically goes on this fit about Thomason stealing him away.
Yeah. And then just, like
gross.
To the point where he has to make up a story about selling it.
Right.
But,
wait, it's...
yeah, and you know, right around all that time in the movie, there's a full moon.
Yes, yes, there is.
And I'm like in my mind going, "This is why. this solves everything. Like 100%, this woman has gone off her rocker because it's a full moon."
Yes, yes. And for those of y'all that don't believe, people start acting nuts and weird and all the other stuff around a full moon. A, you don't work in healthcare and you don't work in education.
Exactly.
Seat sells out.
Right. And
I would plan my off days around a full moon. Like I'm going off. Yeah. I'm out that day. I'm out this day. I'm out that day.
As teachers, we look up every full moon for the month. But I don't even, or for the year, sorry. I don't even have to have a calendar around me because I can tell when their behavior starts amping up that, oh crap, we're coming up on a full moon. And not just because I teach earth sciences and we just tested over this.
So with healthcare, it's the same. You're like, dang, why am I getting all of these weird or, you know, kind of insane, like, situations coming into the emergency room, and then somebody goes, "Hey, is it full moon?" And then you're like, "Oh shit!"
Right.
And it brings me to something I wanted to ask you when we were talking about the dinner scene and how mad the mom gets. The next scene is the parents laying in the bed, and the mom is adamant talking to the husband about potentially selling Thomason. Selling her off. She's old enough now. We need to sell her off. Basically, she's waiting on you hand and foot, taking care of your children and everything, but you want to sell her because you're mad.
Yeah.
And they needed money. I mean, I get that. I don't get why they needed money because you never see them interact with anybody else. So what do you need money to buy? We get that you were trying to grow crops and stuff to barter. But
they were banished. Yeah. I mean, they're banished. There's nobody from their community they can go to buy stuff from or barter with or even ask for help. So,
which is the weird thing, because what they're talking about or what the Catherine, the mom, is saying to potentially sell Thomason to one of the families in the town they were banished from. Ma'am, you can't go back there. What part of that do you not understand? Like,
right.
This mom really reminds me of a Karen. This is a Puritan Karen.
Yes. And all of the, you know, you were born into sin and that I can't, it grates on me to no end when people start the, you know, well, bad shit happened because you were a sinner. And,
I mean, you know, good shit can happen if you're not.
Right. Well, yeah. But, I mean, no, Samuel was kidnapped and used for a sacrifice, you dumbass. It had nothing to do with his soul and his sins. He's a baby.
Well, it's funny that you say that. I'm going to bring up a point later about that.
Yeah. And with, like, it's almost like they keep going back to, well, it's clearly Thomason's fault because she is a sinner. Like, every time the mom can, she throws that out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, bitch, you are too.
Right. He who cast the first stone.
Oh, exactly.
This was something else David and I talked about. He really wanted me to ask you about. So mm-hmm. with Samuel, the baby, he's not baptized. Mm-hmm. He, just because he wasn't born, he was banished from the town too. So in mm-hmm. their eyes, this whole family is heathens. Okay. Mm-hmm. He was a baby, wasn't baptized. The question is, purgatory was kind of created for when you have an unbaptized soul, child, whatever, for them to go because, you know, want to tell parents that, you know, your kid's in hell.
It, well, not babies who were not born or who not born, rewind, babies who are born but do not have a chance to be baptized. Here's where they went wrong. Anybody can baptize a baby. It does not have to be a pastor or a priest or anything like that. Now, back then, they probably would have, like, I mean, you wouldn't have been banished. You'd have been straight up shot in the town had you decided to go ahead and do that yourself. But nowadays, like, the more modern thinking in the church is that those babies, their soul just goes straight to heaven.
Yeah, and that was like something David and I were talking about where it's kind of like, changed now.
Yeah, but back then, oh no, his poor soul was trapped in the ground and he was going to have to go to hell and, you know, all of that. But today, that's not how it's looked at.
Right. You would think that, hey, we've got a creek, we've got a water source, we're very holy. The Father is so mm-hmm. prideful in his holiness. You would think, A, that they would have sprinkled some water on this child's head.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, especially because back then the father, he's not just the head of the household. He's the religious authority in his house.
Right.
So as prideful as he was, why would he have not taken that upon himself? But I mean, depending on how old the baby was, I don't, you know, I'm not sure if Puritans were dunkers or sprinklers. They probably didn't. I'm going to go with they were probably dunkers.
And yeah, I would
drown the poor baby.
Well, I mean, if you tilt them down, tilt them back up, I mean, you're not trying to hold them under, you know, for Jesus to come take them away.
Right. Well, you know, it also depends on how long the spirit would have got a hold of him and he would have talked too. That part was like, why did that really was like, it was just, it frustrated me.
Yeah, right. There's so much you can see that this family did absolutely abhorrently wrong. It's right. Like, do y'all even know how to function? Like, what was your life like in the city? Because, ma'am, Miss Catherine, ma'am, if you've been acting like that, you can't tell me you just started acting like that.
Right.
You probably have been a bitch the whole time. I'm sure that the rest of the Puritans in that village were like, yeah, we're throwing a block party when y'all's asses don't.
Or did she become like that because they were banished?
You know, she like, could as, have.
Like, but, become more extreme after losing the baby.
I mean, she could have. It could have brought it out of her. But, she's just, like, the grade A bitch. Like,
yeah.
So we get to the part where Caleb comes back. Mm-hmm. He's all pasty and slippery and just a hot mess.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about, he's talking in not rhymes or riddles, but he's kind of saying all of these lustful things.
Mm-hmm.
And they have him upstairs in the attic where the entire attic was all for these kids' bedroom. Like everybody just had a pallet on the floor. Like, that's your pallet. This is my pallet. That's y'all's pallet. Pallet. Mm-hmm. And he starts coughing. He's choking. He starts coughing. You've got all this red stuff, essentially what you would say is blood, dripping from his mouth. Then he coughs up an entire whole apple. Like, in what world, without the abdominal thrust maneuver, are you getting a whole apple out of your throat? Like,
well, I also want to know how the butt of that knife got his mouth open when it was, you know, seemed to be like fused shut and it didn't even touch his lips. Again, the apple.
Yes.
So much symbolism right there.
Yes. Absolutely. And,
I mean, you can tie it into the lie the father told, or that the son told for the father, that he thought he saw apples on a tree. And you can tie it to the apple in the Bible with Adam and Eve.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got something to, sin. I got something to tell
and
you.
There's only one bite taken out of it. Did you notice that?
Yeah, only one bite. You know, and then he's saying all of these, put my head in thine lap, as he's mm-hmm. dying, essentially, like as he kicks the bucket. He's got the biggest smile on his face. Bro was happy. But the mom immediately blames Thomason for his mm-hmm. death, because at this point, Mercy has told them Thomason's a witch.
Right. That she said she's a witch.
Right. And so then you have Mercy just adding on to it. She's a witch. She's a witch. Well, you know, as Caleb's going through his shit, they start praying, and the twins all of a sudden cannot remember their prayers. And it seems like they're in intense pain mm-hmm. as the prayers are being said. So you automatically think, well, you know, fuck them kids. Something wrong with them. They got the devil in them.
Yeah. Well, my thought was, oh, they're so faking that because of the way they behaved earlier in the movie.
Yeah. I mean, they are two little twats. They really are.
Right. And, you know, well, you know, this whole series of things in this scene started with a thunderstorm. In every single movie we've done, there's been a thunderstorm where everything starts to go soon.
I promise that'll change soon.
When that whole scene, or the whole series of events starts, and that's going on, and they just start screaming at each other, and my first thought was, oh shit. All right, we've gone all Salem on them, and we've accused everybody in the room of being a witch, and now, you know, and then Caleb spits the apple out. It was just absolute chaos. And then after he dies, it's like everything's immediately calm. They were stressing me out so bad. Like, the mood of the movie was changing so fast, I was getting whiplash. So
Right. So, I mean, this is kind of a slow burn, but then once we get to the thunderstorm and right after we get to Caleb's death, which is about an hour into the movie, shit hits the fan, kicks it up a notch. Mm-hmm. Thompson goes running out of the house because the mom has sent her out, told her to get on, get lost, get out of my face. Mm-hmm. And the father runs after her. And he's like, you know, tell me the truth. Just confess you're a witch. You know, Christ will unwitch you. If you confess. And I'm like, is that how that do we do the, you know, circle, circle, dot, dot, and take it back? Is that what happens, you know, here?
I mean, because poor thing, she was damned if she did and damned if she didn't. Because right. if she admitted to being a witch, he'd have killed her. But she's not. So if she tells the truth, then he's going to think she's lying. And he is so worked up at this point that there's no way she's getting out of this like with any kind of calm rationale behind it. And
yeah, and then they're out there and they're yelling back and forth each other because he tells her to tell the truth, and she's like, oh, You want me to speak the truth? And so then she just lets in on this man and tells him, you know, that he can't do anything but chop wood. He's failed at hunting. He's failed at providing. He can't take care of his family, you know, and all this other stuff. And then he's steady believing the twins that she is a witch. And he's like, she's like, I'm not the witch. They are. Them and Black Phillip, the goat.
Right.
Like, you go and talk to them and you go talk to Black Phillip and then I come back around.
Like, it bothered me so badly that they were constantly, well, Black Phillip and singing songs and grabbing the goat by the horns and playing with it. And, you know, all of this is going on. Not once did they ever look at the twins as being witches.
Right. Because how dare these heathen children that can't act right be from the devil or be taken over by the devil?
They've done everything to draw attention to the fact that they're and they're calling something Black Phillip. In this sense, the black is the negative connotation because the black is the darkness and the darkness is evil. I mean, they've done everything they can to point it out. I mean, they might as well have, you know, a sign on them, you know, their own scarlet A, but make it a W, and that they're the channel for this, all this evil.
Right. In which, and then when the father drags Thomason back into the house, the twins are laying there kind of unconscious or comatose, as we will say, and the mom screaming that her son has died. You know, she's losing her twins now. She's lost her baby. So, like, the only one they have left is Thomason, and Thomason's like, they're faking. And it's not until the father grabs Jonah, the male twin, and, like, rips him up, talking about he's going to, you know, like, cut their head off or something. Mm-hmm. And that's when they start screaming and jumping around. So what does the father do? Because he thinks it's absolutely rational. Locks Thomason and the twins in the barn / stable.
With the goats.
With the goats.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that totally makes sense and is completely rational. And, you know, we're going to put the goats with these really, really long, sharp horns in an enclosed area with the twins from hell and the hysterical teenager, because that is not going to end badly.
No. And at first they're sitting in there. It takes them a minute, but they realize, oh shit, we done fucked up. Mm-hmm. And Thomason says to the twins, does he really talk to you? And it just shoots to Black Phillip breathing heavy.
Yeah. Just and it's like the one time he's not bucking around the yard acting crazy. He's just kind of sitting there staring her down like, yep, bitch, you're next.
Right. And so then nightfall happens, and that is really when we get all hell breaking loose.
Mm-hmm.
So the white goat turns into the witch, and Thomason's like, oh, fuck, I got to get out of here. And the twins start screaming and stuff. And so what happens is that somehow the boards that the father has boarded this up, Thomason's able to get through, but the twins are screaming their heads off. Everything's just going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
We hear squishes and splats, but we don't quite know, you know what has happened. We know with the sound of the squish and the flashes and everything that, you know, somebody probably dead. But Thomason,
it almost sounded like it was coming from the witch.
Yeah. Yeah. More than likely. Yeah. And, probably.
And, you know, I mean, as soon as you heard the thud, I was like, oh, shit, what's about to happen now? But the reason she probably got out is because all he can do right is, you know, cut wood. So if all he can do is chop wood, he can't nail wood. So maybe that's
how she probably. One kung fu kick and the whole thing probably went down.
Yeah. I mean, enough adrenaline. And I mean, you know, they did. She was able to see, not was it minutes later, the goat, like, you know, disembowel her father.
Right. So he's prideful, and you know, he begs to God, you know, I have been too prideful or whatnot. Black Phillip rails him, just runs right into him. It kills him and knocks him into his pile of wood. And the pile of wood falls onto him. Thomason gets out. We were talking about how, you know, maybe he didn't know how to nail. I watched these movies as we talk. So the scene has come up where it's the next morning and Thomason's just laying out there and the boards are all gone. So we can just assume that either Black Phillip pushed through them or the witch pushed through them. One of the two. But that's how Thomason gets out. And then, of course, you know, Black Phillip wreaks havoc on the dad. The crow had wreaked havoc on the mom's breast, which was gross, but you know, that bitch deserved it.
Watching that, I really, and then when she starts laughing, I'm like, the hell?
Yeah, you could tell she was a little psychotic at that point.
I mean, well, you know, was she still, because, you know, she just, right before that, she has just seen the boys. She's seen Caleb and Samuel. And I'm like, is that an illusion created? Because the crow has got to be the witch. Or part
the witch was in, the stable, barn, whatever you want to call it, terrorizing the twins. So it could have been a projection from the witch. It could have been kind of like, and, you know, this is what then, you think you see.
Right. And in reality, that baby is not enjoying mama's milk. That baby is a raven eating your freaking boob.
And then the mom comes out and she's so pissed and she's wanting to know where the twins are. And she's like, I don't know. And then like the mom's calling her a devil and all this other stuff. And you've got blood on your hands, yada, yada, yada. Thomason gives this woman exactly what she deserves and beats her to death. Like she is tired. She is tired of him. And
I mean, you know, mama's gone for her throat. And at this point, it's mama's gone crazy. She's either going to kill me or I'm going to have to kill her.
Right. And so, you know, it's self-defense. And it's really kind of funny in a way because Thomason does all of this, beats the mom to death so that she can live or whatnot. And then what does she do? She gets up. She kind of brushes herself off. She walks into the house.
Puts her head down on the table.
And then nighttime comes.
Mm-hmm. Again.
And Thomason walks out to the barn stable. Mm-hmm. It kind of looks like both. And then we hear Black Phillip.
And I remember just sitting, I'm like watching on, because, you know, on my phone, and I'm like, holy shit, the goat actually speaks.
The twins were not lying. The goat does actually talk. He asked her if she would like to live deliciously. Would she like butter or pretty dress? And she thinks about it for like a half a second. She's like, butter? Fuck yeah. And he's like, all you gotta do is sign your name. Just sign the book. And you think that that is where the movie's going to end, because it's a slow shot. You see her sign and then you see her totally disrobe and walk into the woods. So you think, okay, well, end credits. Just going to end. Not end there. We then see her join in the middle of the woods, what we can assume are a coven of witches around a fire that are dancing. So that kind of reminded me. Yes, they are naked. Yeah, boobs and butt everywhere.
Yeah, any minute now, I'm waiting on Tituba to pop out.
Yes. Yes, me too. And then you see them smear themselves with blood and ground up bone. And then they start to fly.
And I really don't want to know where the blood and the bone came from.
You already know. That's Samuel. So, ma'am, one of the last questions I've got for you before I go into this thing is, given Thomason's circumstance, if you were in her shoes, would you take Black Phillip's deal?
That is a really tough question. Okay, is he going to erase the memories of me seeing my entire family murdered and having to murder my own mother in order to survive? If not, no.
But you get butter, ma'am.
I can live without butter.
Oh, no, not me.
If it means, or well, I could do without the butter, unless he's going to take that all that away. And then I'm like, yep, I'm ready.
You know, but maybe if you think back on it after, you know, if you've signed away, you don't remember it in the way that it happened,
This is
or
true.
you might not remember it all. So what I wanted to tell you, what I wanted to go over, is that the seven deadly sins are represented in this film.
Yes.
So we have the obvious one, that's pride, and that's William the father. He's banished at the beginning, and at the end, he's killed by his own animals, and he's buried under the wood. The wood was the only thing that he could do. Only thing he could do right was chop wood, and he was very prideful of that. And they had enough wood to get them through more than the winter. I mean, they meant they was not going to be cold. You have lust, which is another one that's kind of on the head. And that's Caleb, the older brother. He looks at Thomason's breast on two occasions that were shown. He
And
is.
he is almost like attracted or pulled towards the witch who, who's got her tatas hanging out.
Right. Yeah. He's lured by the witch, is kissing her, but turns into she's nice and pretty at that point. And then when she wraps her hand around the back of his head is when she turns
The demon
into
hand.
what we saw. And so with his death scene, when he's coughing up the apple and then saying the words about put mine head in thy lap, you know, and smiling like he is, that's more lust there. Wrath is mercy, the female twin. She's spiteful. She's cruel. She is off the chain. She accuses Thomason of being a witch, which the family goes with, doesn't think twice about it. Her death is off camera. We do hear her scream. We do hear the squelching. She is either, her death is wrathful as well. It's very violent. You can tell by the sounds. She is either eaten or she sacrificed, one of the two. I would think she was probably eaten because neither of the twins were found.
Right. You don't, and I mean, you don't even see anything past Thomason in the barn, and you
Right.
see the two goat bodies,
Right.
or
And
goat
then
body and a half.
Sloth is Jonah, the male twin. He doesn't do any work, he doesn't help out. He looks like, in some scenes, like a lost puppy that he's just tied to Mercy at the hip, probably because they're twins. And he's just
He does nothing.
nothing. He's just really taking up space and breathing my oxygen. That's it. That's all he's doing. He dies in the barn stable from being too scared to move. You can see that he is kind of paralyzed into I can no longer move. I want to move and I want to move quickly, but now I can't. He is also either eaten or sacrificed. You have envy, which is kind of on the nose, and that's Catherine, the mom.
Oh my gosh, yes.
She's jealous of Thomason's beauty, and she is killed by the object of her jealousy, and she is mutilated by a crow. Her breast is mutilated, her, you know, that's supposed to represent fertility and womanhood and yada yada yada. But the fact that she was so jealous and so just wrapped into this world of Thomason was going to take her brother and her father. That is disgusting. That is an Oedipus complex I don't need in my life. I didn't need to be thinking about that. That's gross.
I
So
mean, it's
she's
like it's so bad, it's so gross, it gives me a headache, and it's like an instant headache, almost like my brain is cramping, it cannot handle it. That is just too gross.
right. And then greed and gluttony are Thomason. She's rewarded for her sins. She is the only one in the movie rewarded for her sins. We open the movie kind of, you know, when we get past the courthouse scene with her praying and saying that she has been sinful in her thoughts. So, you know, she's honest. She's rewarded for her sins. She constantly talks about the old world and in a way of that ain't the life for me, kind of. And so the gluttony, she's offered butter. I know I keep going back to that, but my ass would be in there too. Butter, the greed, she's offered a pretty dress and she signs away for it. She's naked as a jaybird. I don't know where this pretty dress is going to come from. Right. Naked as a jaybird. But
yeah,
but she's greed and gluttony. The original sin is depicted by Samuel, the baby. He was never baptized. And then the bones and the blood that are smeared onto Thomason at the end and the other witches that allow them to fly are Samuel's bones and his blood. And I would think probably because there's so many of them, probably a little bit of Mercy and probably a little bit of Jonah.
But they have plenty to choose from.
Yes. The budget on this movie was $4 million. At the box office, it made $40
million. Wow.
And that's honestly kind of considered a sleeper hit. It's not, it's just now, almost 8 years later, in the last maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years, I guess, since it came to streaming and got kind of put out in the forefront, it's kind of gotten a following. It's a really good movie. It's a historical piece. It's kind of slow, but it's got a great payoff. So when we talk about that, the critics gave it a 90% rating. Audiences gave it a 60% rating. Y'all can suck my big toe. Okay. The Metacritic score is 84, which is pretty good. The Metacritic score, Katie, is out of 100. It seems to me that audiences just didn't get it, or they just wrote it off for being too slow.
I can see that if you saw it in the theater and didn't have time to like pause it and digest any of it.
The first few times I watched it, we just watched it straight through. We didn't pause it at all. It did keep my attention. Yes, it's slow, but it kept my attention. I think probably for audiences, maybe it wasn't gory enough, and maybe there wasn't enough of the witch. Maybe it just, it didn't pique their interest.
I do have to say, though, it was not predictable.
No, I thought that you probably... And would have liked that. And
yes.
The older female witch, I just saw this with the credits going, you're going to love this. The older female witch, the actress that played that, her name, her first name was Bathsheba.
I love it.
I wish I could make these jokes up. I can't.
And I sat there at the end when it actually ends. And I thought, what the actual... fuck was that? It just ends.
It does.
And there was so much to this movie. I'm kind of like, how did people not come away? And well, unless maybe they didn't like the religious aspect and the
that's what I think probably a lot of it is. They didn't give it a chance, you know, saw that it was Puritan and, you know, tying the very early 17th century timed movie, and they just automatically wrote it off and were like, oh, this is religious or this has religion, bye, deuces, mm-hmm. not for me. So I think they're missing out. They probably should give it a chance. I thought they'd like it pretty much.
Then you have the people like me who are like, oh, period piece.
We've got a couple more on the schedule coming up for you, I think, that you're going to really like, especially since you liked this one. I have to dip your toes in a little further each movie to build you up to things that I know that you will be able to handle by that point. Mm-hmm. So you had any final thoughts for this movie?
Yes. I'm one of those that I need closure in a movie. I need the story to end nicely. And, you know, we talked about this before with Dawn of the Dead. It just ends with them flying away. In this movie, she's, you know, flying up in the sky. And did you happen to notice the pose she was in? She looks like she's on a crucifix.
Yes. Yes, she does. And
for those of you that don't know, a crucifix is a cross with Jesus on it. Yet again, another religious thing. Like,
right. Yeah, there's a lot of that
I should. I should say anti-religious thing. I liked it. I liked looking at it and seeing all the different aspects of the religion and the time period. I guess this is where, you know, all of my watching my paranormal stuff comes together because you start to automatically pick out, oh, okay, something's going on here and it's either happening in sevens or threes. Oh, shit. It's about to get real because that's not that's not God. That's not the Trinity. That is the Trinity being mocked and shit's about to go down.
Right. Yeah, you can pick up on it real quickly. So overall, did you survive?
I tell you, there were some scenes where I almost didn't, especially with, you know, poor baby Sammy. Oh, with the witch in the barn, where it looks like she's eating one of the goats. In any of those type scenes really got to me and kind of made me a little queasy. But, you know, the murder scenes and the dad getting gored, I'm like, okay, hold on. Is this survivable? Let me look. Just my medical background before being a teacher, that was my way of thinking. And that's what I'm still looking for. But I liked it. I need more closure. I need to know what happens. Like, does she become a good witch? Does she decide to, you know, the white witch or the, you know, the dark witch? I need these things. Or, you know, is she out there eating children in a barn and haunting the other ones? And, you know, I feel like I need to know. Are we looking at Sabrina or are we looking at the witch? You know?
It's funny how you can try to come up with a happy ending to a movie that's not a happy ending. I mean, it's a happy ending for Thomason. But, ma'am, she signed a deal with the devil.
Well,
and
you
joined
know.
The coven. Ma'am, she's not a good witch. She's going to be stealing children, and she's going to be terrorizing families. I guarantee it.
But then, you know, at the end, when you see all of them, I'm like, oh, crap. Did he do that to every single woman there?
Probably.
And then the other part of me is like, okay, now I need to know what happened to them.
Yeah, I suppose you could do a witch prequel where maybe mm-hmm. you find out who founds that coven, not necessarily Black Phillip or whatnot. Mm-hmm. Not about that, but like the first one, the yep. first witch of that coven, and then how some of the other ones are recruited. But it probably is the same, just repeated throughout time, because you don't know how old some of those witches are. You don't know how long they've been a witch.
Right.
But that's funny how you still try to say that she signed a deal with the devil, but she's a good witch.
She could have been.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so, ma'am. Did you get your final thoughts out?
I did.
It's so funny. Well, from us here at Scare My Best Friend to Death, you can find us at scaremybff.com. You can go over to our Buy Me a Coffee. You can do a one-time donation. You could choose to join our membership. We have three different tiers. All three tiers get you access to the episodes early, about a week early at this point. All three tiers give you behind-the-scenes photos, give you different blog post that you can read about. We'll tell you upcoming shows, and the largest monthly membership allows you to pick three movies per year to put Miss Katie through. And I'm a little scared of that, because then also that means I'm being put through them too, depending on what some of you guys pick. But that is there for you. We are also on Instagram. You can find us. We're at Scare My BFF, because, you know, social medias don't like the word death. So you can find us over there. From us, deuces.
Bye, y'all.